funny that we have a day called Holy Trinity Sunday as a doctrine of the church, because even though we have used the Trinity as a way to kind of try to explain God or to give a way to understand God, at the very heart of our faith is that God is ultimately, in many ways, a mystery. Even our best attempts, the Trinity included, are not flawless. For ours is a revealed religion. A religion where God reveals God's self to us, and we come to understand and be in relationship with God through that which God first does, revealing God's self to us. All our attempts, then, are imperfect. For many of us, as we try to proclaim Jesus, as we try to proclaim the mysteries of God, as our scripture teaches us, we are called to be stewards of the mysteries of God, then in a way it's like we're selling something that to others might be invisible. In my doctoral program, one of the books that I read was a marketing book called Selling the Invisible. And it's interesting, why would they have asked us to read a marketing book in a preaching class? Well, there's some really interesting thoughts in here about what does it mean to try to get across, sell, market your product, if you will. If you take that, one of my roles as a preacher is to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. What might selling the invisible, a field guide to modern marketing, have to teach me? Surprisingly, quite a bit. Interestingly, as I was thinking about our day today, the Holy Trinity Sunday, thinking about what does it mean to live into the mystery of God, to sell the invisible, if you will, as a part of my proclamation ministry, I was reminded a little bit about the history of how we even got to a doctrine of the Trinity. A doctrine of the Trinity that came to us through the Council of Nicaea, formalized, if you will, the Council of Nicaea in 325. At a time when the Christian movement was growing from a group of around 1,000 Christians around the time of Jesus' ascension to almost 34 million Christians by the time that Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire over three centuries later. It's interesting because how did that happen? How were they able to sell the invisible, if you will, as a burgeoning young religion? And what might that have to teach us today? Well, I then went and looked up a book that I read one time that I really value called The Rise of Christianity by Rodney Stark. He's a sociologist. He's not a theologian, and he's not necessarily a historian. He's a sociologist. But he tells the story of how the early Christian movement grew. And it's interesting how congruent it is with many of the concepts that are part of selling the invisible. For one, in selling the invisible, Harry Beckwith argues that the main thing that you're selling, no matter what it is you're selling a relationship. And indeed, as we think about our Christian walk and the growth of the Christianity, Rodney Stark says that very clearly that's exactly how the early church began. It began with the mission to the Jews, but what does that mean? Well, they were all Jews, if you remember. Jesus was Jewish. So in a very real sense, the early Christians were a mission among themselves. to their friends, to their families, to their co-workers, to the people who are a part of their life, the people who are immediate in their immediate spheres of influence, is where the message began to be shared. Perhaps, as we consider our lives today, and we begin thinking about what does it mean to share this and witness this message of Jesus, maybe that's where we begin now too, within our families, within our homes, with our cousins, with our friends, with our co-workers. As we share our message of Jesus in the way that we can, we begin there. Indeed, something special and powerful must have been happening in that early group of Christians as they shared this message with those who were closest to them, as the church began to grow. They were able to love each other. They were able to share community together. And by doing so, the early church, the gift of the Spirit, blossomed those people and blossomed them into a new community. I believe that for us, as we seek to live out our God-given call to follow Jesus, we too are invited to reach into our families. It's why we're teaching the Faith 5 ministry here at Bethel. It's why we invite you to come as families to worship and to Sunday school and to the different things that you can do here to grow in your own life of faith. Number two, in Selling the Invisible, Beckwith says that what you do as you're trying to sell the invisible is you must go where others aren't. And the early church did this powerfully. You see, at the time of the early church, there were plagues and epidemics throughout the Roman Empire. And guess who were the only people that were willing to go there? Yes, it was the Christians. The Christians were willing to go and offer a narrative of hope in the midst of tragedy that was all around them. Tragedies of disease and of death. It was all around them. They were willing to go and be a part of that community and give a positive, hopeful message. A message that allowed them and those around them to feel a sense of healing and a sense of peace. They helped others. And by doing so, these early Christians were able to make a difference, because they were willing in the power of their faith to go where others are not. Thirdly, the Selling the Invisible writes, don't think just better. Don't just think better. Think differently. That as you're seeking to sell your relationship, as you're seeking to go where other people's are not, be willing to think not just better, but differently. And the early church did that in very many ways, but in particular, they did it in the relationship towards women. You see, in the early church, they gave women status that they did not experience, or their sisters that were pagan experienced in their lives at all. You see, the early church valued women so much so that even though it was acceptable in the society to expose baby girls who were born to the elements and really to death, the early Christians said, we will not expose our children. They gave women the wonderful gift of higher status and place of prominence within the community. They valued marriage. And if there was a death, if there was a woman who was widowed, guess what, ladies? The Christians said that you didn't have to marry again if you didn't want to. And you know what else they said, ladies? That you could actually choose who you want to marry. Imagine that. Crazy Christians giving women the right to make some choices for themselves. And if you chose not to get married again, as a widow, you were exalted within the community and had a place of respect. You were given roles of leadership. Women, as well as other marginalized groups at the time, were given a place where they could feel a sense of status and a sense of worth. Who in our communities, who in our world now need to feel that? In our societies. How might the church think not just better, but differently? In offering to those on the margins of our societies and in our communities a place where they can find work, respect, value. Finally, Beckwith writes in Selling the Invisible that as the people, that marketing, he says, is not a department in a good company. You know, he says that everyone is responsible to market the company. I heard something similar one time. He said, if you have an evangelism committee at your church, then you don't have evangelism. Because evangelism should just be. You know, that sounds an awful lot like the priesthood of all believers, as Martin Luther talks about it. The early church is a place that is so centrally united that they are so centrally united around the promise of Jesus, and that they do not underestimate the value of what this promise stands for, that it leads the community to become an intense group of conviction. An intense community of conviction where people are able to live into the difficulties and struggles of life because of the support they get from each other. That they're able to live into these struggles and pains and difficulties of life in such a way that they do so with great strength because they have been given that by the community and by the promise that is within the community. Think about the martyrs of the early church. It is written that the seed of the church was born from the blood of the martyrs. Imagine what kind of conviction it would have taken to stand up to that kind of persecution and be willing to die. Well, they were able to build that together as the early church. They were able to help the poor and the sick, and to love those who were around them, so much so that they then received help when they were poor, or help when they were sick, or love when they feel unloved on their own. While the early church never said that we're all equal in terms of wealth and power in this life, they did say that in God's eyes, all are equal. Imagine the kind of worth that must have felt, the value that someone must have felt in a society that devalued. Indeed, perhaps this is why people were willing to share the good news with those around them. That they were willing to live into the promise of who God is. That they never undervalued their message, their brand. That indeed they were able to live into that fully. You know, it's interesting. I've read a lot recently of people saying that America's going to hell. We just need to get back to God. So we need to do, we need to get back to God in this country. Okay, I agree with you, actually. But maybe not exactly how you mean it. You see, let me tell you what happened when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. You know what happened? Well, suddenly all that equality talk kind of changed. Women whose status had been really high in the early church, guess what happened? There started to be a hierarchy. And suddenly, women weren't as valued. Suddenly, instead of seeing equality with each other as a main source of who they were as a people of God, instead there was now a hierarchy and an us versus them. There were insiders and there were outsiders. Suddenly, whenever the church got the power that they said they wanted, ultimately, what happened is it failed. Instead of people converting out of love, they converted at the other end of the sword. One could say that we are now living in the aftermath of when America and Christianity had the role of promise that we all wanted to have in our societies. But what has happened is, people now are less religious than they were ever. Maybe we failed. Well, in the book, He says, big failures lead to big opportunities. And I actually believe that we've been given an amazing opportunity in America right now and in our world for us to get back to being the early church that grew with such faithfulness, such conviction. The kind of church that is willing to indeed foster meaningful relationships. A church that is willing to go into those places where other people are not willing to go. A church that would be willing to reach out and to foster in our communities those who are marginalized and to help bring them and give them a sense of prominence and peace and value and to be a place that works tirelessly to live into our convictions. And to never tire of undervaluing the wonderful message that we have of good news, of new life out of death. I actually believe that we are now ripe for a time for us to be the church as Jesus would want us to be. An alternative community to empire. An alternative community that seeks to love the lost and the last and the least and the forsaken. A community that seeks to grow in our convictions and to sow forth faith that we together can stand up against all the stresses and struggles and pains that we face in this world. I believe this is the promise of today, now, together. And that God has given us, as the early Christians knew as they walked into those difficult places, a narrative of hope. Of hope that will not disappoint us. Of hope that can lead us into any future. And hope that we can cling to in the midst of any danger and struggle. That is the kind of church I want to be. That is the kind of church I believe we can, together, as we live into the hope of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.